Coming to you from Great American Ballpark, it's the Better Off Red Podcast. Here's your host, Jamie Ramsey.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this special Reds Fest edition of the Better Off Red Podcast. We took our show on the road to the Duke Energy Convention Center on December 1st and December 2nd as part of Reds Fest 2017. Over 16,000 fans attended the two-day event to warm up for the upcoming baseball season and to celebrate all things Cincinnati Reds. The Better Off Red podcast was set up in the Reds Connect Zone, where we talked with 8 guests over 2 days. And when we weren't recording the show, we were catching up with old friends and meeting new fans who stopped by to say hello. Before we get to the show, I want to point out that the Reds recently released a top 10 list of holiday gifts for you Cincinnati baseball fans. On that list, you'll find a Reds gift package that comes with a luxury Reds throw blanket. Also on the list are club memberships, Reds gift cards, the Pick 6 plan, the Jake Owen concert at the ballpark on August 11th, a Reds Hall of Fame membership, Reds gear, and Reds authentics. Lots of great suggestions if you're trying to find that perfect holiday gift for that special Reds fan in your life. To check out the list and to receive more information, please visit BetterOffRed at ramsey.mlblogs.com. This Reds Fest 2017 edition of the Better Off Red podcast features day one guests Anthony DeSclafani and Brandon Finnegan. We were also joined by Cody Reed and Sal Romano. However, due to audio difficulties, their portions of the show were not included with this episode. We hope to have both Cody and Sal back on the podcast in the future. Anthony DeSclafani is our first guest from Reds Fest 2017. Disco's absence from the Reds rotation last season was felt all year. After missing the entire 2017 campaign, where is he currently health-wise, and specifically, how's his elbow feeling? Here's Anthony DeSclafani himself to tell us.
Anthony, first of all, let's get right into it. Catch us up on the health of your elbow.
Well, I'm feeling good. Just having a normal offseason here. I finished instructional league the first week of October, and I left off on a good note. So, you know, I made some, I think it was about 5 games. I threw maybe 20 plus innings. My last game, I went 7 innings, 90 pitches. And like I said, I left off on a good note and I feel good right now.
Yeah, I saw that you were throwing late in the season. I remember being on the road trip and we were getting the reports on your progress, and some of the reports were he's ready to come back. We're trying to like make sure he comes back at a reasonable pace, but it sounded like you were itching to get back there on the mound.
Well, yeah, there's no question. You know, I was sitting in Arizona for a while, and you know, gets boring out there. You want to be with your teammates and you want to be able to compete, and you know, I wasn't able to do that, so I was definitely itching, and you know, I'm itching to get back right now.
Yeah, that was going to be a question that I was going to ask. What was the toughest part of not being able to pitch for most of 2017, and what was the toughest part was it hard for you to see the team struggle on the mound knowing that a healthy Anthony DeSclafani could have been a big help to the team?
Well, yeah, it's tough. It's definitely tough not competing and, you know, trying to get better every day. And that's really what I try to do, you know, during the year is how can I get better today? You know, whether that's pitching good or bad, you can always learn from, you know, whatever that day brings. And yeah, it's tough sitting on the sidelines, you know, when, you know, a team's struggling, you know, especially early in the year. And you know, I can't really contribute, but, you know, some of the younger guys and later, you know, the later half of the season, you know, they did really well and they stepped it up for those last, you know, I guess it was a month, 2 months maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was really good to see.
Yeah. Just to clarify, you did not have Tommy John surgery, which means the ligament in your elbow simply just needed rest and rehabilitation, correct?
Correct. Yeah. No surgery. You know, it was just a... It was a minimal strain. So, you know, I've got, you know, 2 doctors' opinions, and they were both the same. And, you know, their suggestion was to, you know, just rest it.
Has your rehab, like, generated anything new that you may have not known before as far as working your workouts go? Have you changed anything?
No, I haven't changed anything as far as workouts, just adding, you know, a few forearm exercises in there to make sure that it, you know, that it's ready. You know, I felt like I've had some elbow issues before in the previous years in spring training and whatnot, and, you know, making sure this thing's just ready to go from the beginning. You know, maybe that's what I need, you know, strengthen it there in the off season a little bit more, just, you know, zoning in more on the elbow as far as, you know, the total body itself. So
now, will you be on any kind of innings limit in 2018?
No, as far as I know, I'm not, and I don't expect to be. You know, my goal is, as it is every year, to throw, you know, 30 plus starts and, you know, 200 innings.
So that'd be nice.
That's going to be the goal. I don't want anything short of that. I know I have a lot to prove. There's a lot. You know, I was hurt in 2016, and I missed all of last year. A lot of it is just I have to go out and prove it. It's the only way that people are going to be, you know, satisfied and know that, you know, they can count on me to pitch, you know, every fifth day. And that's what I plan on doing.
Where's your mindset right now?
I mean, my mindset is, you know, I left off great from October. And, you know, when it comes to pitching, it honestly is going to be all mindset. I think my mindset going into this is, you know, from the get-go, spring training and the beginning of the season is I'm gonna pitch like I threw 30 starts last year and I threw 20 innings and I won, you know, I don't know, 15 games. That's how I'm going to pitch. I'm going to pitch with that confidence like I had a great year the previous year, even though I didn't. But, you know, the mindset, like you said, it's just a mentality. You got to have the mindset that you're going to go out there and win. So that's what I'm going to take out.
You were just the local writers just did stories on you within the past couple of days, and I read those. And in those stories, you talked about how – and going back to last season, late last season, when you left off on a good note, and something that you talked about that I thought was interesting that maybe the casual fan doesn't understand is it felt good for you to be sore again, to have that baseball soreness, not to be like injured sore, but to get that, you know, I got some work in, now I got that soreness from working.
Yeah, no question. There's definitely a big difference there from feeling hurt and injured to, you know, the muscles that you don't know are there, those ones are hurting. And, you know, that's what I was feeling at the end of this year when I was in instructional league. So the next day soreness where you're waking up and you're like kind of moving it around slow and you're like, damn, that was a good workload the day before. Yeah. And, you know, it's not a bad workload, I guess.
Am I crazy to think that with already this lineup is solid from top to bottom at every position, but with a healthy Anthony DeSclafani, a healthy Homer Bailey to go along with guys like Luis Castillo, Tyler Mahle, Robert Stevenson, Sal Romano, and there's probably a few more guys that I'm missing. Am I crazy to think that this team can compete and put up more wins than losses in 2018?
No, not at all, because when you have a bunch of guys that have, you know, power stuff and guys that are competitors, which, you know, they all are, they're all itching to be great. You know, that's what it takes to win. And I don't see any reason why we can't at all. It's not, doesn't matter, you know, what other teams have or other teams, superstars. We're young and we're hungry, and, you know, I've said it before, but I feel like being young and hungry is just as scary as some of those big, you know, donkeys that are on the hill or up at the plate. You know, we want to win, and everybody wants to be a part of bringing winning Reds baseball back here to Cincinnati.
Yeah. Now, when you talked a little bit earlier about how while you were sidelined that you had a chance to really kind of watch a lot of these games and watch a lot of your teammates out there on a regular basis. Stepping away from Anthony DeSclafani, the player, and asking Anthony DeSclafani, the baseball fan, watching these Reds play towards the end of last season, what were you maybe pleasantly surprised with, or that you were like, that kind of opened your eyes to maybe a specific player or a specific instance where you thought, man, this guy's pretty good, or I like the way that we're doing this? Is there any examples that you can cite?
Offensively, I don't know if people were surprised, but I feel like offensively we were pretty solid all year, which was great. And, you know, our thing has always been the pitching. And you never know when or which pitcher will, you know, kind of get over that hump. And to have, you know, these few players that did, you know, a little bit later on in the year, I think it's very encouraging when, you know, you have these young guys in the staff and they're getting experience, and when we're trying to build winning baseball. And I don't think people realize how hard it is to, you know, you come up, some people have success right away, some people don't. And everyone has their different timetable when they're going to, you know, kind of find their way. And to have some of these guys find it kind of collectively there at the end, we started playing some pretty good games, I feel like.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's definitely encouraging and it's necessary.
I'm going to throw a few names out for you and see what if you got a chance to either talk to these guys or maybe watch these guys and just get your quick thoughts on guys like Luis Castillo, Tyler Mahle, Stevenson, and Romano.
Yeah, all those guys are pretty good. Everyone's had different paths. Tyler Mahle, I feel like, you know, he's going to be pretty good. I remember watching him and spring training, he was throwing a bullpen, and I was taken away. I was like, I don't think I've ever thrown a pen that good. And I was very impressed. And I, just the way he pitches and he can play with fastball speed is, I can't do that. I don't know what pitchers can or if a lot can. I'm certainly not there yet. I think it's more of a mental thing to be able to, you know, he comes in there in the beginning of the game and he's like 86, 88, and they're like, is he hurt? And all of a sudden he throws, you know, 94. Then he's back down to, you know, maybe 89, 90, 97. And it's like, it's impressive.
Yeah.
You know, it's he's going to be fun to watch coming up here. And, Luis Castillo is obviously lights out. I think he's definitely going to be a big breakout player this year. You know, just his stuff, and you know, not only his stuff, it's his demeanor on the mound. He just looked real confident out there. And as far as Sal and Stevenson, you know, they were guys that, you know, Stevenson's kind of struggled a little bit, and you know, sometimes it takes one thing. I remember talking to, it was one of the pitching coaches, I don't remember who, it might have been Teddy, you know, where he figures something out in his delivery and something like that clicked.
Right.
And sometimes that's all it takes for guys to have that one moment. It's like, ah. And all of a sudden you start building some confidence.
Sure.
And I think Sal just, I think he just finally said, you know what, screw it, and I'm going out there and just dominating. That's what it seemed like. I think he just kind of got fed up and
flipped the switch.
That's what it takes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You talked about it a little earlier, but just for those of us without an untrained eye or with an untrained eye, what makes a good pen? What makes, when you mentioned that Mahle threw a good bullpen, what did you see in that bullpen? Obviously you have the experience to know what a good bullpen is.
Right. Well,
bullpen session, I should clarify.
Obviously, hitting spots for one. And I know it's a bullpen, and, you know, you see it a lot of times, guys will just won't miss a, you know, spot in the bullpen.
Gotcha.
And you go out to the mound and it's different. Even though for Mahle, I think it's the same, man. His pens, I'm sure, are lights out, and in the game, it's no different. And then also, you can see guys in the pen, you know, just repeating their delivery. Repeating their delivery, having a good pace. It seems like they have a feel for maybe what they want to work on that day. I mean, I only watched him a few pitches, but you can tell just by a guy's demeanor, you know, there's something to be accomplished in a bullpen, and you can kind of get that from certain guys.
Yeah, I think some fans just think that you guys go out there every fifth day and throw and take the mound to pitch, but you guys have a very rigid schedule that includes taking bullpen sessions at 2:30 in the afternoon, 3 o'clock when you get to the ballpark on your third day. And there's a lot that goes into it than just...
Yeah, no question. Bullpen mound, bullpen work, and then also, you know, going over the lineup, the hitters. Maybe you're going to work on something different in your bullpen. That's where you can get all that work in. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. And, you know, maybe it's like that for most guys, but maybe sometimes in between starts, maybe it's not like that. Maybe you don't work on anything. Maybe you, in your bullpen, you don't do anything. Maybe you don't look at a hitter. I don't know. It's, I mean, everyone's different and everyone's got their own routine, but there's always a lot that goes into it.
How great was it for you personally to see Tucker Barnhart win the Gold Glove this year?
Oh, man. I mean, that's awesome. It's, he works his butt off. He's, you know, he's great behind the plate. You know, I threw to him and Pena my first year here, and, you know, 2015 being my first year with the Reds, I played against him coming up through the minor leagues, but didn't really pay attention much, but you could just tell how special he was behind the plate. He's a great target, receives well, moves well. You know, and he's got some fire in him, which is, you know, it's great to see as well.
Now, before we let you go, Anthony, let's step aside from baseball for a second. Tell us some of the fun stuff that you've done this offseason and maybe stuff that you have coming up before you have to report.
Some fun stuff. I got engaged.
Congratulations.
Got engaged.
Congratulations.
So about time. and
that's what I was saying.
Yeah. And just doing a lot of just some renovations around the house. I bought a house last year, and you know, I'm kind of just making it my own. My dad's doing all the work inside, doing the renovations and stuff. But it's normal renovation stuff. It's a pain in the butt.
Keeps you busy, though.
Very busy. It's like, it's going, the off season's going quick, and I feel like, you know, every day it's something for the house, or it's something to do getting ready for the wedding. Because, you know, she was on top of it from day one.
Sure. When's the big day?
It is next year, so January 5th, 2019.
Okay.
So next offseason, just after the New Year's.
Gotcha.
Kind of confusing, but.
Yeah, no, I got it. Like, after next Reds Fest.
After next Reds Fest.
Now, one last question, and this is something we've been asking the pitchers. Have you been keeping in contact with Brian and Mac?
Yeah, they always reach out. I saw Matt, Brian was out there at my last start. An instructional league. So I was able to talk to him. We sat down and stuff like that. And Mac's always checking up on us.
Yeah.
Shoot you a text, or, you know, whether it's about baseball or whether it's about food.
Right. It feels good that they're checking on you, right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. There's at least constant check-in once a month or whatever. So it's nice.
Anthony DeSclafani, we're so pleased that you're healthy. We're happy for you, man. And we're definitely rooting for you to have a comeback year in 2018.
Thank you. I can't wait, and I'm itching, and just want to win.
That's Anthony DeSclafani, everybody. Give it up for him.
Another Reds pitcher coming off an injury-riddled 2017 is Brandon Finnegan. Brandon wrapped up our first day of Reds Fest by giving us an update on his injuries and what he envisions his role being in 2018. Here's Brandon Finnegan.
Brandon Finnegan. How's it going, Brandon?
Not too bad. How are you?
Man, it's good to see you. Feels like I haven't seen you in forever.
Been a while.
Yeah. Let's get right into it, man. You had a few injuries last year. Can you catch us up on where you are health-wise?
I am completely healthy now. I left for off-season completely healthy, but I still was doing rehab, but I am now done.
All done. How's that feel?
It feels great because I'm tired of rehabbing.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. I bet you're itching to get back there on the mound, too.
I am. I'm definitely enjoying my off season for sure, so I'm not too eager to get to spring training, but I'm ready to start throwing and see how everything feels.
It had to be tough for you, and we had Disco was just on a little while ago, and same kind of goes for him as well. I asked him, like, it's got to be tough to be on the sidelines watching these guys go out, whether they're enjoying success or taking their lumps. You got to feel for these guys, and it kind of has to frustrate you not to be out there to help out.
It does, for sure. I mean, Disco not being able to pitch all year really sucks. You know, me and him had plenty of time to talk about it.
Yeah.
It was not fun at all. You know, we weren't doing well either, but our hitting was doing great and our defense was doing great. It just came down to our pitching. And, you know, a lot of that's mine and Disco's problem because we both went on the DL for pretty much the entire season. But hopefully this next season we both come back and we're both healthy and we can put up some wins.
I'm sure coming here to Reds Fest doesn't fuel that fire even more for you to, like, once you see everybody and you kind of get that baseball fever a little bit, right?
Yeah, being around the guys, you definitely feel like you're, you know, getting ready to start playing again. And that's a good thing, you know. That's the main thing I love about coming back to Reds Fest is seeing all the guys and, you know, hanging out and talking to them. But, you know, once I start throwing, I'll really start itching to get back on the mound.
It's also got to feel good, too. I saw you walking through, and, like, a lot of people are mobbing you for autographs. It's got to feel good to be, even though you weren't really on the main stage for last year, it's got to feel good that people still know that, hey, look, Brandon Finnegan's one of us, and we're looking forward to having him back.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I hope they didn't forget about me.
No, yeah.
But
I think it's pretty clear that they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, they've been great so far. You know, hopefully I can, you know, give them something to cheer about this next year. Me and Disco both, and along with the rest of the Reds.
Sure. Now, you've pitched in four big league seasons, and you're still only 24.
Yeah.
Are you a guy that sets long-term goals for himself, and if so or if not, are you where you want to be right now, or do you feel like maybe you have to get ahead of the game, or you're in a place that you need to catch up, or where's your mindset, I guess, what I'm trying to ask.
Mindset wise, I'm where I want to be with my mind for sure. I think my mind is very strong, and you know, I have a good, you know, mentality of when I pitch and how I act. But you know, pitching wise, I definitely have a lot to get better at. You know, everybody does. Nobody's perfected it. Otherwise it would just get boring.
Yeah.
But I do set long-term goals, and I definitely want to, you know, there's personal goals I want to reach, and there's team goals I want to reach. And you know, to reach both of those, I'm gonna have to, you know, do something. I'm gonna have to change something in my, whether it be the way I pitch or how many pitches I throw. My command is the main thing I need to get down for sure.
This is something we kind of talked about with Cody Reed, who was here earlier, and I mentioned that you're still only 24. We talked to Cody about the process of maturing as a young player while still expecting to perform at the highest level in the big leagues. Do you feel like you've become wiser, both maybe personally and professionally, as you've gained more experience as just being a human being?
Definitely. I mean, I got thrown into the fire pretty quickly with Kansas City, so I had to mature a lot real fast. And, you know, those guys in Kansas City helped me. And then when I came over here, being around, you know, Joey Votto, Jay Bruce, and then last year with Bronson and Cozart and Feldman, you know, being around guys like that, you mature a lot. You learn a lot about the game. You watch them and you listen to what they have to say. But you know, just the experience alone, it helps you. You know, this will be my going on my, I guess, fifth season in the big leagues, but I'll end up with about 4 years after this year. You know, I feel smarter as a pitcher, mm-hmm. And I think the only thing that ever holds me back is, you know, my command. And you know, sometimes my fastball, you know, I can't control how much it moves, and
sure,
I don't know where to start it. And, you know, I mean, there's been days where I come out in the second inning and I'm done because I'm throwing too many balls. But and then there's a day I'll go seven or eight innings. And so it's just, but I need to be more consistent on the seven or eight inning base. And I know that. And in my head, I know what I have to do that. So, you know, hopefully I can just come back this year and be healthy and put that into, you know, test.
Yeah, it sounds like you've already kind of reflected, but has there been a time for reflection with being injured that you've kind of, like, look, this is where I want to be? Both, I want my head here, I want my body here, and then maybe reflect on, like, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that, or I wish I wouldn't have done this. And like you mentioned, like, the older guys and the experience that kind of, that they put on you. Kind of just talk a little bit about that and how you've kind of grown in both. Okay.
Yeah, so definitely, you know, being on the DL the whole year, you have plenty of time to, you know, reflect on what you want to get better at and the stuff that you did. So I sat down as soon as I got put on the DL the second time. I sat down with our strength coach and we came up with a plan. I told him what I wanted to be at weight wise when I left for off season. And, you know, I met that goal and I worked my butt off to get there and I met that goal. But, and I worked with, you know, I talked to older guys too. I was like, how do you do this? Like, clearly their body types are different. They're all 6'4", a lot taller than I am. And so it's definitely gonna be tougher for me to look like they are. But you know, they gave me some eating tips. They gave me some workout tips. And then sitting there talking to Bronson was mainly the guy I talked to about, you know, kind of pitching.
Yeah.
Because he's just played for so long. And you learn so much. And like guys like, I can't call them younger because they're my age. Guys like Amir and Sal, while we're on the bench, they would ask what pitch I would throw in a certain situation. And you know, that while the game was going on, and I'd tell them, and then that pitch would end up being thrown. I was like, dang, I actually feel pretty smart right now. I was like, I know how to pitch.
Yeah, yeah. But well, I mean, in baseball years, those guys are younger than you are.
Yeah, they are. But, you know, we all act like we're brothers, and that's – we help each other out. If I'm doing something wrong and they don't like it, they can tell me. That's just how I am. I'm not going to act like I'm above them because I'm not perfect at all by any means, not in baseball talk, not in – live talk. And so I'm going to need all the help I can get to where I want to be. And I know my teammates are going to help me get there, and along with my coaches.
Yeah, we kind of talked – that's been kind of the theme of the night here with these guys that have been coming up, like with Cody and Sal were here, and we talked about this. But you guys – and I brought it up because I'm down in the clubhouse on a regular basis. You guys seem like – and I'll be honest, I've seen teams – not as welcoming and as together as this team is. And you guys do a good job of just, there's no cliques, it seems like. It's like you guys all hang out with each other. You all, and most importantly, you guys seem to really care about each other.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, as far as it goes for Sal and Amir and, you know, Robert, they all grew up in baseball together pretty much. In professional baseball, they came up together. Cody, I didn't even meet him until Reds Fest in 2016. So
and
I didn't
were involved in the same
yeah,
trade.
Yeah, we were involved in the same trade. So I never met him when I was in Kansas City. But as soon as, you know, I got over here, I clicked really quick with a lot of guys. And, me and Duvall are really close.
Yeah.
And I love Duvall. He's one of my closest friends, along with Anthony Discofani. I would definitely call him probably one of my best friends on the team. We just get along so well. We can give each other crap and we can take each other's crap at mm-hmm. the same time. But we know when to be serious and we know when, you know, to jack around.
Yeah.
And I mean, you've seen it in our clubhouse. We like to mess around a lot.
Yeah.
But as soon as we step outside of that clubhouse, we know it's game on.
Yep. Yeah, speaking of getting tips on body types, Duvall's a good buddy to have, huh?
I wish. You know, Duvall's got some good genes. I wish. Duvall and Lorenzen both have good genes, man. It's tough, but, you know, I'll just have to, something I'll have to live with.
Yeah, hey. You brought his name up earlier, but talk a little bit about what it was like to have Bronson in that clubhouse.
Bronson was, you know, more than what I expected. To be honest, I thought he was going to be a real jerk
by looking at
his facial expressions, you know, from watching him pitch. But he was awesome, you know. He would put everybody in their place when they needed to be put in their place, but he could also be your brother at the same time. And you know, when he got hurt in his career, we had a lot of time to sit down and talk because he knew I was having trouble. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I'd never been hurt, so it definitely hit me pretty hard. But he helped me through it. You know, he talked me through how to, you know, maintain a good mindset and don't give up on your workouts and, you know, stuff like that. And it was awesome to have that type of, you know, experience in your clubhouse and, you know, in your locker or in your dugout it's unbelievable. You just learn so much more about the game, and it's crazy that you know, how much you can learn just off of somebody being around. You don't even have to listen to what he has to say. You can just see how he carries himself and how he works out or how he, you know, plays catch or works in the bullpen. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, isn't that funny, like, how some of the baseball experts or the people that think they know so much about the game don't know that probably 95% of what happens as far as a team goes and a clubhouse goes is behind closed doors.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's crazy because you see so much stuff on Twitter and Instagram and, you know, all the social media about all these people just going off thinking they know everything about baseball and, like, that was a dumb move, this was a dumb move. And you're like, you have no idea what it takes to make that decision or to make this decision. It's tough, you know. It's, and, you know, first, you know, Price, it's the decisions he makes. And I would think he makes really good coaching decisions when it comes to pitching and, mm-hmm. you know, lineups. I mean, but if something goes wrong, it's all on his back.
Right.
It's not just on that pitcher or that hitter. It's on his back, too, because he made that decision. But it shows you what type of man he is because he can handle sure. that and he can – but he's so smart, you know, and he's also a really good pitching coach.
Right.
Which is great to have in a manager, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't disagree. I guess what I'm also trying to – the point I'm trying to make is that that stuff is taking place on the field where people can see. Like, yeah. people can second-guess those moves, but – people have no idea who gets into who takes a guy aside to talk to, maybe yeah. who shows the leadership skills, who Brian talks to privately
yeah,
in his office.
They just assume everything. Yeah, yes, I know. Yeah, I can agree with that completely because, you know, I mean, my parents are the same way. I mean, they ask questions. I'm just like, look, you just don't know what goes into it.
Yeah,
you know, that's just. I mean, it's just how it is. I mean, I'm the same way watching basketball or football. I'm like, that's just a dumb decision.
Yeah, well, we all do it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everybody does it, but so much goes into everything that you just can't assume. You can't assume anything. You just have to just, you know, trust what you're seeing pretty much.
Yeah, now, stepping away from baseball for a second, can you give us a little glimpse into the life of Brandon Finnegan as far as fun stuff that maybe you've been doing in the off season or that you have coming up before you report to camp?
So my off season has consisted of a lot of rehab, hanging out with my dog. You know, being around my family and friends is definitely big for me in the off season. But I've also been golfing a lot.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that I can finally golf now because it's so hard just
sure.
sitting around not being able to do anything. So
yeah.
I golf a lot and, you know, I play a little basketball for some cardio and I go to all the TCU football games that are at home.
Yeah.
So I like to have fun there. So we go a little crazy there for tailgates. All the alumni baseball guys come back and, you know, we have our own tailgate. We just go all out. And so, I mean, It's fun. It's been a fun offseason so far, but it's also been very relaxing too.
Yeah, yeah, and it should be. That's how it should be. You guys, as Brandon, you mentioned your dog. I love following you on Instagram, man, because you have some great, like, I see you on the sidelines of football games. I love seeing your dog. You're a proud dog owner, man. I respect that.
My dog is my best friend.
Yeah.
I can honestly say that with no, you know, doubt in my mind. She's the best dog I've ever had, and she's the funniest dog ever. She is so funny and just she's very witty for a dog. It's unbelievable. I'll say one word and all of a sudden she'll just turn her head to the right or left, and she's just a happy dog. She's never upset. And then I love my dog.
That's your baby, isn't it?
It's just my baby,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. No, I love it, man. I love it. I've seen you on the sidelines of some – I think you went to a Bengals game this year?
I went to my first Bengals game this year, and I got to go on the sidelines for the game, and then we had 50-yard line tickets. So it was fun. It was definitely a fun experience for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's great because your Instagram account, like I said, is fantastic because it gives, like, people that don't really know you an idea of who you are.
Yeah.
And you represent yourself so well on there, and it looks like you love your family. I love seeing the pictures of you and your family. It's just it's good stuff, man.
That's kind of what I put my social media as. I want it to be my family, my friends, my dog,
yeah,
and of
yeah.
course my job. You know, I don't want people to know just because I play baseball doesn't mean I'm anything special. I'm still a normal person just like you are, just like all these people
right.
here at Reds
yeah.
Fest are. I mean, I'm just a normal guy that gets to throw a baseball for a living.
And I think you get it in that regard. There are some guys that just don't understand, but that connection is so good because, like you said, people like, man, you know what? Brandon Finnegan's just like me, you know,
yeah.
or
nothing
in
special.
That sense. Yeah.
Nothing special.
He likes, he's a dog guy. Of course, he's like me, you know,
yeah,
or whatever.
I mean, that's something that people don't understand. You know, a lot of baseball guys think – just because they're, you know, that good at a sport that they're way above other people. Which, I mean, that's, you kind of get put in that limelight to where people make you think that way. But, you know, I've always been told by my parents and by all of my family to never forget where I came from. And that's something I don't want to ever do. If I do, I will be very disappointed in myself. But, yeah, I like people to know that I'm just a normal person that just likes to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. I've been asking the pitchers up here this same question, but I'm going to ask you, how excited were you when you found out that Tucker Barnhart won the Gold Glove?
Man, I can't even explain. Tucker is awesome. I love Maz too, and I think they're both great. Me and Tucker have clicked really, really well ever since I got over to Cincinnati. And I have not gotten a chance to pitch to Maz as much as I have Tucker, barring, you know, injury for both of us. But Tucker is awesome. He's my guy. I love him to death, and I think he's one of the best teammates I've ever had. And he deserved this more than anybody. I honestly think Billy and Duvall and Joey and, you know, Suarez, they all got screwed out of it. And Cozy. I mean, everybody got screwed out of it because I thought we had one of the best defense I've ever seen in my life this year. And it was fun to watch, but it sucked to not be a part of. But I was so happy for Tucker and, you know, his family. And that's something that nobody can ever take away from him. And that's awesome.
Brandon, let's just say you're not Brandon Finnegan, the Reds pitcher right now, but you're Brandon Finnegan, the Reds fan. If, with that being the case, would you be excited going into 2018 seeing that there's going to be a healthy Brandon Finnegan, a healthy Homer Bailey, a healthy Anthony DeSclafani to go along with these guys like Luis Castillo, Tyler Malley, Sal Romano, Robert Stevenson, and plus the offense and the solid lineup?
You know, being a fan, you know, you want your guys to be healthy. Being a coach, being a player, you want everybody on your team to be healthy. That's something that you don't want to worry about. And, you know, for me personally, being healthy means everything. I want to, you know, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to deal with not being able to play, but I want to show everybody what I can do. And I know what Anthony DeSclafani can do. I know what I haven't been able to see what Homer Bailey can do because he hasn't been healthy, and I can't wait to do it. I've rewatched his no-hitters, and I thought they were awesome. But I can't wait to see how he does this year, and I can't wait to see how I do. Hopefully I'm completely healthy. And I think if everybody's healthy, I think we can contend this year. I'm really confident that our pitching staff and our hitters and our defense can contend with the best in the baseball.
I really believe that you believe that because I think that's true too. I might be considered a homer or whatever because I work for the Reds, but watching this division and the teams in the division last year gave me hope for this team in 2018.
Definitely. I mean, you see guys like Sal and Rob kind of coming to their own as pitchers last year at the end of the season. I mean, that's something that you're like, wow. You know, there's a chance this team to be really good. And then you got, you know, whoever makes it in our pen, you know, we're going to have Rossi as a closer and then Lorenzen there. And then if something happens and I get put in the pen or Cody or Amir, I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. We're going to have some of the best pitchers in baseball on our team. And I solely believe that. I 100% believe that. And I think if we're all healthy, we're going to contend.
So let's say you talked about, and that's going to lead me to my next question. What if something happens? We're in the team's in the pinch, and they need you to maybe work the late innings. Are you open to that?
If you know the Reds had always told me that, you know, they were going to give me every chance to start, and so far I think I've done a good job of, you know, fulfilling that chance and, you know, doing well. But I've always said I want to pitch my way out of starting. I want to 100% know that starting just isn't working for me before I go to the pen. If that happens, that happens. Mm-hmm. I've done it. I've succeeded out of the pen, and I want to, you know, I'm not scared to go to the pen if it has to happen. But for right now, I'm hoping I stay as a starter. But if not, you know, I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to do my job, and I'm going to get out.
Hey, I know why you want to start. You want to hit.
I want to hit.
You want your at-bats. You're not fooling anybody,
I
man.
I want to hit. I love hitting. I missed it a lot, but Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, any way I can help the team out, I'm going
to
do it.
Yeah, that's got to feel good, too. Like, talking about hitting is when the manager has enough faith in you that he's pinch hitting you, that's got to feel good, right?
Yeah, it feels great. He's done that. I mean, him doing it with me, it's awesome because I always give him a hard time about hitting. I always, you know, talk my crap about hitting that I always do. And he loves it. He laughs and, you know, just – and when it comes down to time, I'm like, he actually has this confidence in me. I need to show him that I can actually do what I talk about.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm not going to be the best hitting pitcher out there. I'm not at all. But I'm going to do everything I can.
But you're going to be a tough out.
Yeah. I'm going to do everything I can to not go down swinging or looking. I'm going to put the ball in play.
Right, right. And lastly, before we let you go here, Brandon, has there been anyone here that maybe you haven't met before, like maybe a Reds alumni or maybe even like somebody that one of your teammates that you were looking forward to seeing here here at Reds Fest this year?
Reggie Sanders.
Ah.
I thought that was really cool. You know, I always see him commenting on the Reds stuff on Instagram and Twitter and stuff, and I was like, man, he's actually here. I thought that was really cool. I've always heard about him. I've watched him play. So, I mean, it was awesome. I thought that was cool to have him on stage.
Specimen, isn't he?
Yes, still a specimen.
Yeah, that's great. Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Finnegan has joined us. Brandon, man, we're rooting for you. You're, you know, an easy guy to root for. We've been saying that to about a lot of guys that have been coming up here, but it's true in your case too, man. And we're really hoping for
thank you.
Healthy season for you, and definitely cheering you on in 2018.
Thank you very much.
All right, Brandon, thank you very much.
Have a good one.
That concludes this special Reds Fest edition of the Better Off Red podcast. On our next episode, we'll feature guests from day two of Reds Fest 2017, including Tucker Barnhart, Jackson Stevens, Taylor Trammell, and Michael Lorenzen. A big thanks to all our guests and to Nick Prince, my main man who does all of the heavy lifting behind the scenes to make this Better Off Red podcast possible. Until next time, I'm Jamie Ramsey. Thanks for listening and expect good news.